Come near to God and God will come near to you. It's not about us. It's about the Lord. This time of worship, this holy day set aside, and the Lord is here with us now and for us. Let us come near. Let us let go of the things that distract us in this moment. And let us reach out and take hold of things eternal, things above. Lord, we come near to you. Pause and sense God's presence here. Feel God's Spirit moving. And let us offer our praise and our thanksgiving, our worship and our adoration to our Maker. Consider the one who made heaven and earth, the one who made us in his own image and likeness. And let us worship this one. Let's humble ourselves before him. Let's give our adoration, our reverence, our submission. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Lord, we worship you. Let us confess our failings, our sins, our faults. He is merciful, he is just, he is kind, he would forgive. Lord, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, clean us from all unrighteousness. Let us pray for others in need, our country, our troops, in Afghanistan, in Iraq, other places. Pray for their safety, safety of the homeland. Lord, have mercy upon us. Draw us back unto yourself. Turn our hearts in the right direction. Lord, we come. And pray for this time together, that God would truly speak to us deep in our hearts. Lord, you are the Potter, we are the clay. We bring ourselves to you this day to be shaped, to be made, to be fashioned in the right way for your glorious service and even for our good. Come near to God and God will come near to you. Lord, we're here, waiting upon you in the name of the one who asks us in our praying to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary.
I'll be a living sanctuary.
Let's sing it one more time. Lord, prepare me.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
And please come back to our scripture for today from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 18. The Lord has sovereign rights over individuals and over nations. And that is the lesson he wants to teach Jeremiah in this chapter, and what he wants to teach us all today. And so he calls on the prophet and he said, "Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message." For there are real places and there are existential places in life where we may hear more clearly God's word to us. For Jeremiah, such a real place is the potter's house. At the potter's house, Jeremiah watched the potter working and listened to God speaking. And this is what he learned. Just like clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. Verse 6. And the "you" here is plural. The nation of Israel is described here as being in God's hand. God has rights. Now, we talk a lot about all rights. Ready to fight for all rights. Well, here's the uncomfortable news. God has rights over all. So, simply today, we want to look at this scripture in terms of the potter. And when potter and clay comes together, we have the process, and then we have the purpose. Why is it all happening? So the Lord is saying to Jeremiah in verse 11, look, I am the potter. I am the maker. I am the one that shapes things. And so when we read Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, what do we find? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being, the potter. If a child, your grandchild, or some child were to ask you, grandma, grandpa, whatever, mom, dad, how did we come here? How did we get to be as people? Open the book of Genesis and read, the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground. He is the potter. So in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, the Lord said to Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, the potter. And in Isaiah 64, verse 8, the Lord said, but now, O Lord, Isaiah, but now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you our potter. All are the work of your hand. I am the potter. But God is a different kind of potter. God is the kind of potter who doesn't only shape and make things, but he makes his own clay to make things. I don't know if you heard a little story, a story that reflects the attitude of some in our world today. Some scientists finally concluded after many years of research that they could make a human being just as good as God could. I hope that's the Lord calling us. He has a message for us today, you know. So the scientists went to God and said, God, we have figured it out. We can make a human being just as well as you did. We have come of age. We have figured it all out. We can do it. And the Lord was compassionate enough to listen to them and hear their story out. So God said, okay, go ahead and make a man, let me see. And as the scientists turned away, some reached down to grab some dirt, and God said, drop it, get your own dirt. Let me see you create that. He makes us, but he makes the stuff out of which we are made. I am the potter. We need to hear this word today because there is a disastrous tendency among so many to act as though I am the potter. You know what I mean? I make myself. I own myself. That Invictus, you know, mentality. I am the master of my own destiny. I control it all. And when we speak so arrogantly, we tend to shut God out. We disrespect life. Whether it's the life of the unborn, the life of the weak, or the aged, we readily approve even state-sanctioned murder because we are the end of it all. I am the potter. I make it all. God has news for Jeremiah and for us. This is his creation. We are his creatures. He has made us. We are not the result of some cosmic accident or the product of some evolutionary process or the offspring of aliens. No, the Lord said, I am the potter. You're the clay. So as you are concerned about your body, your health, your welfare, know that what you have in terms of this material frame, it's made by God, sustained by God. God can heal it. God can keep it well. I am the potter. And so the purpose of the gospel is to dethrone self and enthrone on our hearts the one who says, I am potter, I made you, I own you. So in Isaiah 43:1 we read, but now this is what the Lord says, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, you are mine. You belong to God. So, sisters and brothers, beware of those who do not like you as God has made you. Beware of those who are the self-appointed potters in your life. You know what I mean? The people who want to tell you what you should do and what you should be and how you should act. Those who want to play God, you need to remind them. You know one maker. You know one Lord. You know one Savior. God owns me, not you. God says to us, I am the one that makes it all. I am the potter. But where you have potter and clay, you have this process of the making. So there's the making. I am the potter, says the Lord. You are the clay. Now we all know clay, right? Very common stuff. I'm sure some of you have it on the soles of your shoes as I sit here now, right? Clay. No special value in clay. No special value. It's just hard to work with. And so as Jeremiah watched the potter working with the clay, he saw something like this. The potter took a piece of clay, and he would pick through it and remove the foreign objects, you know, maybe roots and little pebbles, stones, whatever. And then he would add some water to the clay to soften it up. Then he would place it on a table and take a wooden mallet, and he would beat it, he would pound it to knock all the air out, because air remaining there, you know, those little bubbles could weaken the final product. The Lord says, you are the clay. Expect God to go into your life and remove things that are not good. Amen? Expect God to soften you up if you're a little tough. Soften you up. Expect God to lay you out and beat the vanity and the air out of you. You are the clay. You are the clay. And then Jeremiah saw something else. The potter took that piece of clay then and he put it on the wheel. And on the wheel now there is constant turning and twisting. And in this process, the potter's hand is on the clay. He controls the wheel. He controls the speed. You are the clay. You see, in order for this piece of clay to become a vessel, let us say, it has to get on the wheel and go through the turning, the twisting. It is on the wheel that the design in the potter's mind is transferred to that piece of clay. I saw him put the piece of clay on the wheel. Friends, in the same way, God places us on the wheel of life. The tangled circumstances and experiences of our lives, such as our environment, our relationships, our sufferings, our misfortunes, all the things that come our way, ever turning and twisting, all to make us what we should be. The wheel of time, the circumstances of life, going round and round, and you and I are like a little piece of helpless clay, ever spinning and spinning. But there's comfort here. The hand of the potter is always on the clay. Robert Browning spoke about something like this when he wrote about how God fixes us in the midst of the dance of plastic circumstances, that life is like full of machinery designed to give our soul its bent. Machinery that try us and turn us and twist us and bend us and then send us forth sufficiently impressed. So maybe when you get back home, you could pull out a photograph from your high school days, right? And compare it to your last photograph. Have you ever done that? And if you really think about it, you may ask yourself, how did I become like this? What has happened to me? Not just on the outside, but the inside. Oh, I knew some people who were once so pleasant and sweet and everything else, and now they're like demons out of hell. How did they become like that? It is simply this, friends. It is life on the wheel. Life on that ever-turning wheel. And the wheel put lines upon us. It bends us. It marks us. It leaves lasting impressions on us. You are the clay. And the turning and the bending and the twisting on the wheel of life leaves you bent all out of shape or something like that. But Jeremiah observed something else. The stress of turning and moving on the wheel was too much for this piece of clay to take. Something in the nature of the clay resisted the wheel. The clay refused to take the shape the potter wanted to impose on it. And what does the word says as Jeremiah looked at it all? The clay in the potter's hand was marred. Verse 4, the vessel he was making of the clay was spoiled in the potter's hand. Spoiled in the potter's hand. Spoiled. Another version says it was marred in the potter's hand. The wheel of life is ever turning on us, ever twisting. Sometimes we want to get off, we want to resist, we want to fight back. This piece of clay wasn't taking shape, it's twisted. Bent, deformed, marred, scarred in the potter's hand. So, friends, we are all like this piece of clay in a sense, you know. All defective, all bent, all malformed in some way, something in us not quite right, even though we are in the potter's hand. Many years ago, a friend had introduced us to a certain store. It sold name brand items. I won't call the name. It sold name brand items. I'm sure many of you have been to it too. And the price list was very good. And then, after picking up a pair of trousers there, I got home and I start checking this thing, and it's defective. You know, the zipper doesn't work, stitches are off, etc., etc. I should have checked this before I bought it. So I took it back to the store and I told the man, I said, this thing is defective. He looked at me and said, everything in this store is defective. And then I figured it out. This is one of those stores that get seconds from God knows every place out there selling name brands. He said, everything is defective in here. I didn't know that. So now I have to start pulling up every zip, you know what I mean? Making sure the buttons are lined up with the holes. You know, checking the stitches, you know, pulling the seams, making sure one come apart, everything is defective. That's just how we are, you know. You ever try to get some people to zip their mouth? Zip doesn't work. Stitches are loose, they fall apart easily, you know, they break at the seams. Yeah, we too are like marred. So if you have ever visited a workshop, what do you see? Discarded items that were worked on, but somehow something went wrong. They're there in a heap. Missing this, missing that, a bad cut, whatever. Can't be used here. We throw it aside. And that's what we do in our society. People are not quite right. We cast them aside. You know what I mean? We write them off. We shut them up. We push them out. We don't want them. Not quite right. But this potter is a little different. You see it in the verse? In verse 4, the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he, it would be nice to say, but he reworked it into another vessel as seemed good to him. And this is all God. This is all God. However bent out of shape you may be, however marred, however scarred, God does not put us by the curb and say, we are useless. Rather, if we can't do this, God shapes us to do that. It was marred and he reshaped it. Whatever your life may be, bring it to the Lord. He will make something useful out of it. Every sinner has a past. Sorry. Every saint has a past. Every sinner has a future. But the piece he was shaping was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it. And so we pray that God would look at our lives and have mercy on us and rework us. Now, why would he do this? Why would God have that mercy and compassion on us? Because we are his, made in his image. We are his, bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We are his. God sees in us something worthy of being reshaped. There's a little story of parents taking their young daughter to Gutsein Borglum's studio. This is the man who gave us Mount Rushmore. Well, another one of his famous pieces is this piece of Lincoln's head that is in the Capitol in Washington. While he was working on it, this family came in and the parents were talking over there to Gutsein, and the little girl went around the studio and she saw this large piece of rock that he was carving. As she looked at it, she saw a head was emerging out of it. And she ran to him and she asked, is that Abraham Lincoln? And he said, yes. And she asked him, well, how did you know he was in that rock? God knows what is in us. So when you get home, look in the mirror. Put your hand and feel your beating heart. And tell yourself, there is something in here. God knows it. Do I know it? Would I let God chisel this out? Would I let God make this thing in here what it ought to be? As clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. That's the process. And finally, here's the purpose. Why did God send Jeremiah to the potter's house? The answer is in verse 6. Can I not do with you, O house of Israel, just as this potter has done, says the Lord, just like clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. Just as so. Understand the connection? Just as clay is in the potter's hand, it has no mind of its own. The potter would do whatever he wants with it. It is nothing without the potter. So are you in my hands. He's speaking to a nation. So are you in my hands. Just as
soul.
Not different. Look at the lesson, Jeremiah. And you answer this question for me. Tell me what you think. Can I not do to this nation as the potter is doing to the clay? What do you say, Jeremiah? Whatever you say, Jeremiah, as clay is in the potter's hand, you are in my hands. I could do whatever I want to this nation. Maybe someday I'll get whatever it takes to preach a message from this for the nation. It's to the nation. God is involved in the affairs of the nation. So let us look at verse 7 through 11. At one moment I may declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up and break down and destroy it. This is the Lord speaking. But if that nation concerning which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will change my mind about the disaster that I intended to bring on it. And friends, the word evil occurs in this text more than any other word. And I'm speaking of significant words. Verse 9. And at another moment, I may declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will build and plant it. But if it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I will change my mind about the good that I had intended to do to it. Now, therefore, say to the people of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, look, I am a potter, shaping evil against you and devising a plan against you. Therefore, turn now, all of you, from your evil way and amend your ways and your doings. The difference between Israel and the clay is what? They have free will. And the Lord says, turn. 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 Come back to me. The choir sang, would I have followed when he called? We have free will. Would we follow when he called? Would we walk where he leads? Come back to me. Come back to me. Just like clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hands. Come back. Come back. But this nation is... This nation is beyond our comprehension. Verse 12, but they say, it is no use. We will follow our own plans, and each of us will act according to the stubbornness of our evil will. We don't need you, God. We'll follow our own. What a nation, what a people, straight to hell they want to go. Can I not do with you as the potter did to this clay? And so, sisters and brothers, the Lord has rights. The Lord could take us as individuals, take us as a nation, and make us whatever he chooses. God has that right. There is no escape. So the big question for your heart and my heart this day is, would we surrender to this one, this potter? Oh, like Israel in verse 12, would we insist in following our own way, our own plan, our own design for our lives? Would it be His will or our will? Is it yes to Him or yes to ourselves? As clay is in the potter's hand. You're in my hands, but you have free will. Would it be yes or no? This little story coming from the days of the horse and the buggy, of a man and his wife traveling along a very narrow and dangerous stretch of road. The woman became exceedingly anxious because, you know, there's the horse and this little cart and a precipice, and she was very anxious. So she reached over and she grabbed one of the reins in her hand just to be in control. But quietly and very patiently, her husband offered her the other one. And she said to him, "I don't want both. I could never control this animal all by myself." "Well, then," he said, "you must make up your mind. Either you would have both reins in your hand, or I, the two of us cannot control the animal at the same time." Well, you guess what she did, right? Maybe you can't, because women are different, huh? She gave him the reins. The marquee out there has something to the extent that if God is not your co-pilot, you need to swap seats. If you didn't read it, read it. It comes down to this, friends. Are we going to put one rein in God's hand and keep one in your hand? Are we going to give Him some areas of our lives, or we're going to keep other areas for ourselves? Would He let Him control that much and we control this much? Doesn't work like that. I surrender all. As clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. Amen. Amen. Number 382, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. So, Lord, we bring our hearts to you now. We look into our lives. We hear your word. You are the potter. We are the clay. That's what it is. So what did you hear in the message today? What did the Lord say to you? The experience was given Jeremiah to teach him something. What did you learn from it? Who is in control? Who is shaping you? Are you trying to do it yourself, or are you submitting to the potter? Letting the potter pick out of your life what shouldn't be there? Would you let him soften you up if you're rough and coarse? Would you let him beat vanity out of you and put you on the wheel and let you spin and turn until you become something useful? What do you hear today? The Lord is not going away, and God's message is not going to change. May we not be like Israel, stubborn and rebellious. Let us repent. Lord, we come to you. Lord, we have insisted on our own way. We have rebelled against the wheel and the turning and the twisting. We don't like the bad stuff that comes into our lives. We fight back. We don't walk faithfully. You call, but we don't follow. You lead, but we stay away from your footsteps. So, Lord, we come back today and we say, Lord, you are the potter. We are the clay. Take our lives, break us, and melt us down and make us something. So now, friends, let us just surrender to God like this. Just open your heart. Say, Lord, take me and make me. You have that right, O God. Take me and make me. You have that right. I give myself to you. Now let go and let God take over your life. Yes, let it happen. Come closer to God. Get to know the Lord in a personal way. It's more than Sunday morning and church membership and association. It's knowing him in a deeply personal way. And it could start here right now. Take me and make me. In the name of Christ. Amen.